विद्वते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट 44। अनीह आत्मा मनसा समीहता हिरण्मयो मत्सख उद्विचष्टे मनःस्वलिङ्गं परिगृह्य कामान् दुषन्निबद्धो गुणसङ्गतोऽसौ। अनीह आत्मा मनसा समीहता हिरण्मयो मत्सख उद्विचष्टे मनःस्वलिङ्गं परिगृह्य कामान् जुषन्निबद्धो गुणसङ्गतोऽसौ। अनीह आत्मा मनसा समीहता हिरण्मयो मत्सख उद्विचष्टे मनःस्वलिङ्गं परिगृह्य कामान् जुषन्निबद्धो गुणसङ्गतोऽसौ। माताजी
Oh.
अनीह नॉट एंडेवरिंग आत्मा द सुप्रीम सोल मनसा अलॉन्ग विद द माइंड समीहता विच इज स्ट्रगलिंग हिरण्मय एग्जिबिटिंग ट्रांसेंडेंटल एनलाइटनमेंट मत्सक माय फ्रेंड उद्विचष्टे लुक्स डाउन फ्रॉम अबोव मन द माइंड स्वलिंगम विच प्रोजेक्ट्स द इमेज ऑफ मटेरियल वर्ल्ड अपॉन हिम द सोल परिगृह्य एम्ब्रेसिंग कामान ऑब्जेक्ट्स ऑफ डिजायर जुशन एंगेजिंग विथ निबद्ध बिकम्स बाउंड गुणसंगत बिकॉज ऑफ असोसिएशन विथ द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर असो दैट इन्फिनिटिज्मल स्पिरिट सोल Translation. Although present along with the struggling mind within the material body, the super soul is not endeavoring because he is already endowed with the transcendental enlightenment. Acting as my friend, he simply witnesses from his transcendental position. I, the infinitesimal spirit soul, on the other hand, have embraced the mind, which is the mirror reflecting the image of the material world. Thus, I have become engaged in enjoying objects of desire and entangled due to the contact with the modes of nature. So no purport. So read next one. Danam swadharmo niyamo yamascha srutam chakarmani cha sadvratani sarve mano nigraha lakshanantaha paro hi yogo manasa samadhi. Charity, prescribed duties, observance of major and minor regulative principles, hearing from scriptures, pious works and purifying vows, all have as their final aim the subduing of the mind. Indeed, concentration of the mind on the Supreme is the highest yoga. Next verse. Samahitam yasya manah prashantam danadibhikim vadatasya krityam असंयतम यस्य मनो विनश्यत दानादिभिश्चेत अपरम किमेभि. If one's mind is perfectly fixed and pacified, then tell me, what need does one have to perform ritualistic charity and other pious rituals? And if one's mind remains uncontrolled, lost in ignorance, then of what use are these engagements for him? मनो वशेन्ये ह्यभवन् स्म देवा मनश्च नान्यस्य वशं समेति भीष्मो हि देव सहसस हीयान् युञ्जाद् वशेतं स हि देव देवः. All the senses have been under the control of the mind since time immemorial, and the mind himself never comes under the sway of any other. He is stronger than the strongest, and his godlike power is fearsome. Therefore, anyone who can bring the mind under control becomes the master of all senses. Tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam uruntudam tanna vijitya kechit kuruvanti asad vigraham atra marte mitrani udasinari punvimudha. Falling to conquer this irrepressible enemy, the mind, whose urges are intolerable, and who torments the heart, many people are completely bewildered and create useless quarrel with others. Thus they conclude that the other people are either their friends, their enemies, or parties indifferent to them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Falsely identifying oneself as the material body and accepting bodily expansion such as children and grandchildren to be one's eternal property, one completely forgets that every living being is qualitatively one with God. There is no essential difference between one individual being and another. Since all are eternal expansions of the Supreme Lord, the mind absorbed in the false ego creates the material body, And by identification with the body, the conditioned soul is overwhelmed by the false pride and ignorance as described here.
Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yanta Pravishyam Vachimam Prasuptam Sanjeevaiti Kila Shakti Dharasvatamna Anyam Chihasta Charana Shravanatva Gadin Pranan Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna So I seek blessings of all the devotees so that I can do this service of speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam Yathamati Yathaditam whatever my capacity goes, whatever I heard from the devotee. So we are reading this story of Avanti Brahmana. This Brahmana was wealthy. Generally Brahmanas are not wealthy, but somehow this Brahmana is wealthy. And he doesn't have the character of a Brahmana, so he was not Brahmanical. And he is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as lusty, greedy. And above all, he was a miser. His policy was that he doesn't use the wealth for his own enjoyment, neither allow anyone for his enjoyment. Na khaunga, na khane dunga. Right? So if someone has such a policy, obviously people are alienated from such a person. Right? In the course of time, for various reasons, he lost his wealth. Some was lost, some was stolen, and he became a pauper, not getting anything. The relatives rejected him. At the ripe of his old age, he was rejected by the family and deserted by everyone. But he had some sukruti. As a result of that sukruti, a renunciation dawned upon him and he took a sannyas. He accepted the vritti of a bhikshu, a mendicant sannyasi, subsisting himself on traveling and collecting the grains. So when he was traveling, he was constantly tortured by the people. Understanding his previous background. His understanding is previous jungle, he was constantly tortured. Bhagavatam mentions that the people used to urinate on his food. The torture was such an extent passing an air. Nobody can imagine like this. Right? Nobody can imagine like this. So, but he had to go through all this. So then but while going through all this, he kept on deliberating. And here we are discussing his deliberations and thoughts after deliberation. He came to the conclusion. Something called the root cause analysis. Right? And he was thinking, who is the cause of my suffering? Who is the cause of my suffering? He thought, demigods, they are not the cause. Then at his conclusion, these are his thoughts at the conclusion. He said, demigods are not the cause. Atma, soul cannot be miserable, so soul is not the cause. Karma is not the cause. He removed one by one. Right? Planets, they are not the cause. Time, it's not the cause. So he comes to the conclusion that the mind is the cause. He comes to the conclusion that the mind is the cause. Yesterday, Srikant Krishnaprabhu has nicely described how mind makes one suffer by different ajnanavrittis. He has also explained the whole creation in that context. So I'll just make a small attempt. So to discuss what is this mind and how to deal with this mind. So technically speaking, this mind is the matter. It's unconscious. It's one of the 24 elements. Its residence is at the heart. Scriptures tell us it is at the heart. Right? It is coming from the heart of a Virat Purusha. Its presiding planet is the moon. And the presiding deity is the Aniruddha. So this is one of the 24 elements, but it is not just one of the, but as it is said, it is the main culprit for our bondage. So one of the name of mind is Shodasha Atma, means that is the soul of this 24 elements, a prominent item of this 24 elements, and all other are secondary. Scriptures tell that the Manahi manushyanam karana bandha mokshayo. That mind is the cause of one's bondage and liberation. Mind is the cause of one's bondage and liberation. And in this world we can see this mind can make someone a friend, can make someone an enemy. Can make the relationship or can break the relationship. Mind can give a good health also. Right? And can make a person lunatic. Go completely crazy. Right? Mind can bring a peace, that can bring a chaos in the life. So it's very important to understand what is this mind. So mind is a subtle thing. It's very, as soon as we see the body, so the gross body is visible, atoms of the matter are mostly visible. But this mind is very subtle. Mind is very subtle. So therefore, Bhagavatam and describes with the different analogies. So if you want to understand something subtle, so you can understand but with comparing with something which is we can see and experience it. So in this verse Bhagavatam, here it is said, on the other hand, which is the mirror reflecting the image of the material world. So the mind is compared to like a mirror, which is reflecting this material world. Generally, mirror are meant to reflect our own real position, our reality, how we see. For that, we use the mirror. Right? But not all the mirrors reflect ourselves. Right? Recently, we went to this science center, Nehru Science Center, and there is one hall filled with mirrors, varieties of mirrors. Right? Some mirror you see fat, face, somewhere you see him thin, tall, short. Right? Completely up and down. And certain mirrors are there where you don't see himself only, you see someone else. Right? Something like this mirror is. Right? That if you have such a mirror in the living room, so what will happen? If you have such mirrors in a living room, so we'll seeing the people, we'll be judging on them, which is not their reality. Which is not the reality. So So similarly, something like happens in our life also, that we are observing the world through this mirror, which is reflecting not the reality, but the a distorted reality. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that it is a mirror which is covered with the dust, and it is not just the dust, it is like a sand art on the mirror. And we are absorbed in seeing the sand art, which is beautiful and enticing. Right? But if you want to see the real image, so one has to clean this mirror of all the dirt by this process of chanting the holy name. So this is one analogy given. Mind is like a mirror. Mind is like a screen. Just like you go to the movie, the horror movie is going on. So we are seeing the movie on the screen, we are experiencing the emotions, when we are experiencing the suffering, what is going through that movie. Isn't it? But actually what we are seeing is the only three colors, red, blue and yellow, because that is what was visible on the screen. So similarly, this mind is like that screen on which three modes are playing the drama, and we are observing the interactions of these three modes. But just by understanding, and the emotions which are going through in the movie, by seeing the movie, are not real, they are false. But just by understanding this, one cannot get out of this experience. In essence, what the scriptures are talking is that the happiness and distress are illusory and false. Hard to believe, right? Happiness and distress are illusory and false. So, but just by understanding this, it is not possible to overcome it. Arte hi avidyamanepi samsritirna nivartate. Though there is no substance in the sufferings of this material world, but it doesn't desist. So what is the solution? Therefore scripture says that till the point one is watching the movie and completely tuned into the movie, the suffering is guaranteed. The best solution is that just move away from it. Right? Then only suffering can stop a person who is seeing the horror movie. Dhyayato vishyan asya sopne anartha gamoyata. Just like a person is sleeping and seeing a deadly dream. And he's sweating, he's shouting. So what is the way his suffering can be relieved and stopped? As soon as his dreams end or he wakes up, there is no suffering. So similarly, the experience of suffering in this world is till then we are tuned to that suffering. The moment you shift our focus from it, and folks, immediately that suffering is vanquished. Another analogy is given for the mind. The mind is like a monkey. Restless. Right? It's restless. At one time it is there, another time it's somewhere else. Right? In Vrindavan, that for Pandal we kept monkeys. Right? So there was this langur. So that man used to carry the langur, but the man used to walk straight, but the monkey never walked straight. He used to jump the chairs beside, tree beside, or the rod beside. He never walked the straight. Right? Completely restless. Right? So the mind is restless. Not at one place. If you stand, the mind wanders. If you do something here and there, then mind keeps sharp, little person. So, the right now also we may be here, but the mind will be somewhere else. Alright? And then there's some joke happens, something happens in the mind, comes and thinks, oh, what was it? So this restless, like a monkey. In the Vrindavan, so langur was there to scare away this red monkeys. But there was one red monkey, he used to come right before that langur and sit there. Because langur was tied. So langur used to jump here and there, he is just distance, he cannot touch that. Red, big monkey. Right? By seeing him, langur is to try to attack him, touch, but could not touch because he was tied. Right? Then he used to jump here and there, here and there, here and there. Right? The more restless, something like this happens with us. Right? In this, when mind is searching for the happiness and pleasure experience, right? And then when it doesn't get, and we see it is reachable, within the reach, right? Within the reach, and then he makes all kinds of efforts and plans, can't reach, completely frustrating, right? So the mind is like a monkey. Mind is also compared to like a car. The Bhagavad Gita says that yantra rudhani mayaya. soul is traveling through all the different spaces by getting into this car, which is called the mind or subtle body. Yantra rudani maya. This car is semi-automatic. It goes on, it can drive on its own also, and the driver also can drive. Right? So this transfer of our soul from one body to another body is kind of automatic. Its vehicle is deciding where to go. Vehicle is driving the passenger and taking a call where to go. This is like a semi-automatic car. Right? So what is the goal of that passenger? Is to control, take control of the car. And this is what in this verse it is mentioned. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananta. Danam sudharmo niyamo yamascha shrutam cha karmani cha sadvritani. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananta parohi yogo manasa samadhi. So the goal of all practices is to control the mind. Mano nigraha lakshananta. So what does it mean? That all the practices which are mentioned, like dan, sadharma, yama, niyama, is that are nothing but the training the passenger to how to drive this car. These are like a training the passenger how to drive this car. Right? And but there are people who learn the driving. These are the nyanis. Right? They know how to control the mind. And they take control of this car and drive. But they don't know the destination, where to go. So their complete focus is that, let me drive this car, let me be on the road, follow all the rules and regulations, be safe. But they don't know the destination. Right? This is like a jnani. And the sadhakas are like a passenger who doesn't know how to drive the car. They know the destination, but they don't know how to drive the car. So sometimes car drives somewhere, then he tries something out, then car takes him somewhere else. He again tries to find out some ways to bring it back to the path. Right? This is the struggle of a sadhaka. Mind is also compared to like a child. Mind is compared to the child. The stubborn, child has a power in his tears and his sound. Right? If he wants something, he will throw his legs and cry and can't ask for anything. Similarly, mind is stubborn. If the mind is fixed on some object, then it is difficult to take it off. Then mind wants it at any cost. Right? So, and these are the previously the child used to ask for the lollipop or the chocolate, something like that. Right? So recently, my brother's son was there. So he was crying like piteously. So finally the brother gave him the phone. It was for the phone he was crying. He wanted to see some play game, same game or what. And this small child, but they know how to operate. These are the new generation kids. And then he downloaded some game. And it is required memory is much more than what the mobile can. There was no space. So he started deleting whatever it's popped. Started deleting everything. And he downloaded the game. And then the father saw this mobile and is shocked. He has deleted everything from the mobile. Right. So I said, this kind of misery we never observed. Right. So this mind is stubborn like a child. But child is not powerful. He has no strength. Right. So the mind is powerful like an elephant. It can uproot the big trees. Yan mano rajasa purushasya sattvenava tamasa vanuruddham chetobi akutibi atanodi nirankusham kushilam chetaramva. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that the mind, just like a elephant, nirankusha, which is untamed or there is no control over the elephant, can uproot all the austerities performed by the yogi or what are the good things done by the person in one moment. So it's like a powerful, like an elephant, it's like a child. Elephant do not have a speed, elephant slows. Right? But it's not like that. This verse of the Asahya Vegam is like a tornado.
When the mind attacks a person, it comes like a tornado. The urges of mind are very difficult to control. It comes like a tornado. Krishna says that dhyayato vishyan punsa sangas teshu bhi jayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho bhi jayate. This tornado of desires attacks the mind, right? So there is a choice at the beginning. Krishna says that as soon as we develop the attachment, then cycle follows, right? Sangha. So here it is dhyayato. Dhyayato means contemplation. But the mind contemplates good or bad, anything. As soon as there is a contemplation, complete contemplation means what? Dwell time. How much you dwell on that subject, whether it is good or bad, that will lead to further segments. So till that contemplation stage, we have a control. It is like that till the tornado hits the border. Right? Just like Maha was coming. So till it hits the border, we can think of safeguarding us. Right? Once this stage goes of contemplation, so then it follows the sequence of degradation. So the mind is like tornado. It's very difficult to control. Arjuna says, I can control the wind, but I cannot control this mind. I cannot control this mind. And above all, in spite of having all these qualities, if he had been a friend, will be the one of the good thing. But this mind is an enemy. It's a mind an enemy. It's not a friend. Right? So it is like a fighting with a terrorist. Right? The terrorists, when they are outside the border, still you can watch unsafe. But when they are inside, entered, then they are more deadly. It's very difficult to recognize what is a good, what is bad, who is a normal person, is a terrorist. Similarly, this mind has entered within the system. Right? So therefore, it is more deadly to handle. So this mind, what to do? This mind is with us. You cannot run away with the mind, from mind. Right? You cannot kill the mind. You cannot bribe it. You cannot conquer it. Right? With the death also, mind doesn't go. Even if you commit suicide, mind doesn't go. Right? Mind carry forward with you only. So the mind is there life after life with us. So better, we need to learn to live with the mind. Right? Just like if you are staying in India, and you are complaining about the crowds, you can't do anything. Right? Everywhere you go, you will find a queue. So better we have to learn with the living with queues and crowds, isn't it? So similarly with this mind. And everyone's mind is a different. Mind is shaped by the different impressions one has accumulated. Right? Different karmas, different experiences, right? Number of lives we have lived. So it is said that by seeing the mind, Bhagavatam says that we can understand what was his past life and we can predict what is his future life. Right? So everyone's mind, just like a mirror, has a different thickness of a dirt. Just like a monkey, somebody is a langur, somebody is a red ampers. Right? Everyone's mind is different. Right? Elephant, different strength. Right? Tornado, different speed. Right? So everyone's mind is unique. So the first principle in living with the mind is that accept. Accept the mind, what we have, which we have got. Right? So just recognizing and observing how our mind is behaving. Because that may not be the way the other person's mind is behaving. Right? So the first principle is that one should observe and accept the mind as it is. Right? Just like if the terrorists are within our territory. First is to realize there is a problem. Right? If you deny it, you cannot solve it. So the first is that to accept as it is. And this is very important because the students we see, they cannot cope with the stress and pressure, their inability, their capacity, and they think of committing suicide. First point is to accept as it is, as the mind. You cannot change it. It is not by your... You cannot do anything practically with the mind which we have. So better accept the reality. And by death also, it is not going to go from you. It is going to continue even the next life. So first principle is that accept. Right? And recognize so our skills, our talents, whatever we have, it has some limitations. So the next point is that after accepting is that learn to deal with the mind. Learn to deal with the mind. So Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto gives us some tools. How can we control and deal with this mind?
Bhratravyamenam tadadabhra viryam upekshaya dehitam apramatha guror haresh charanupasan astro jahi velikam swayam atma mosham.
So here Shukadeva Goswami in the story of Rishabdev is giving this formula. How to control and how to subdue this mind. Amazing word he has used for the mind here. He has used the word Bhratrivyam. Bhratrivyam means, literally means, a son of a brother. He is saying that a son of a brother is an enemy. If you compare the Maharashtra politics, son of a brother is an enemy. Right? He is using this word. And then the, what he does? Atma Mosham. He said that this son of a brother, Atma Mosham, if you are not attentive, so he takes away the treasure from your custody, he says. So the treasure which is there in your custody, he takes away. Atma Tosham. He is Velikam. Do not consider him as a friend. He is an enemy. This Jahi Velikam. So you should control this enemy. So how to control this? He gives first. Upeksha, by neglect. One should not praise the mind by giving attention or objects of enjoyment. Just like a child. Right? Child as soon as falls start crying. If you are seeing. If you are not seeing, he just gets some. Right? So if you give the attention, it feeds. The tantrums of mind increases if you give the attention. The best policy is the neglect. Right? Prabhupada says that how to chant, just utter the syllables and hear. Where is the question of mind? Neglect. That is the first principle. Right? Similarly, the monkeys also, if they are paid attention, they create more chaos. If they are neglected, we can easily walk through their crowd. So first, and second is the apramatta. Apramatta means alertness, by alertness. Bhagavad Gita says, ki, just like we try to focus the mind, mind wanders, you bring it back. Yato yato anishchalti mana chanchalam dunigramachalam. Right? You bring that mind back. So when that mind is brought back, mana chanchalam asthiram tato stato niyam metat et atmani evam vasham nait. So we need bring this mind back. By this practice, we capture the mind. But after capturing the mind, just like a ring master, when he captures a tiger and puts in the captivity, but he doesn't put faith in him. He never puts faith in that tiger. Right? So similarly, Rishabdev is telling that when you control the mind, this process, so but you should not put faith on this mind. Because as soon as you get the opportunity, it can strike back at any moment. Vishnu Chakravarti gives this example like a cunning person. Tiger is all the time ready to attack. Right? But the cunning person has little more intelligence than the tiger. What he does first friendship with him. He makes friendship with us. And we started developing a trust on that person. But as soon as he gets opportunity, he robs all the wealth and runs away. So similarly, a practitioner try to control his senses. He gets some success also. It seems that the lust is not troubling. It seems that the greed is not there. It seems that I am completely peaceful. Right? And when we are just relaxed, lax in our efforts and little inattentive, we go somewhere and suddenly it attacks. Just like and takes away all the treasure which we have accumulated by our sincere practice of Krishna consciousness. It's like a cunning person. Mind is like a prostitute. Or if the husband keeps a prostitute at home. Yes, right? So that what will happen? He, as soon as the opportunity comes, her followers will come. Right? Similarly, Bhagavatam says that the mind, if it is there in our captivity, but if little inattention, its followers, lust, greed, pride, anger, shoka, moha will follow immediately. So therefore, in spite of controlling the mind, one has to be alert to keep it. And not to
lose the credits which are accrued. Third principle is the practice. Practice. So once you do, but doesn't, you need to practice. Even those who are seasoned players, they also need to practice. Right? So similarly, the practice has to continue. And the practice means hard work. And what is the opposite of practice? Is the laziness or lethargy or complacency. So in this purport, these two qualities are mentioned, that the one becomes two qualities of uncontrolled mind. Right? So in one is the laziness and another is the agitation. So the way principle controlling the mind is the practice, and the uncontrolled or become victim of the mind is complacency. As soon as one becomes lethargic, the mind is sure to attack. Right? And how to practice? Bhagavatam talks about it, like riding a horse. While riding a horse, we need to be strict also, and we have to be lenient also, in both ways. But you have to complete, keep a watch on it. That has to be there. And fourth principle is given the by vairagya. Vairagya means what? Out of sight, out of mind. Remove the unnecessary things which you don't need. All the distraction, the agitation which are not necessary at all, just remove from the life. That is the first principle. Out of mind, out of sight. Right? Then the fifth is the by satisfaction. This mind, by its nature, is in mode of goodness. By its true nature, is in mode of goodness. Right? So when we, and the quality of a goodness is the satisfaction, santosham. So if mind is satisfied, then it is not affected by the agitations externally. This is like a Bhagavatam talks of, like the, you are walking with a bare foot. So always there is a risk of pin prick or the thorn pricking or a stone pricking, right? But when you wear the shoes, then you are not concerned about the thorns, you are not concerned about the rocks, not the pin pricks, pins, right? So similarly, sada santushta manasa sarva shiva maya disha sharkara kantaka adibhyo yato panat pada shivam. So similarly, when we wear this quality of santosh or satisfaction, then the mind is not affected by whatever in this material world. And the sixth is that the guru haresh charana upasano astro, by service to Lord and by mantra given by guru. So one may ask, but mind is so strong and I am so weak. Is it possible for me to control the mind? Because we have repeated efforts to control the mind has failed. So is it possible for me to control the mind? No. So then the Vishnu Chakravarti saying that here, yes, if we have a weapon of serving the Lord by the nine processes and the mantra given by the spiritual master, by that power, one can control the mind. In at one place in Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that if you want to conquer the lust, it can be done by negative determination. Asankalpa jayat kama. One can conquer the anger by giving up the desire for violence. One gives up the greed by seeing the uselessness of objects of greed. And one can give up the fear by suffering caused by karma. And one can give up the shoka, a lamentation, by understanding how soul or atma is eternal. One can give up the pride by serving the great souls. And one can give up the obstacles on the path by silence, maunam. And violence by giving up desire. And physical suffering by yoga, practice of yoga. And the sleep, control sleep, by sattvic food. Then Bhagavatam says that etat sarvam guru bhaktya purushohi anjasa jayet. But all this can be overcome by a person just by serving a spiritual master. It is like that car analogy. See, this mind is compared to the like a car, automatic, semi-automatic car. And practitioner is trying to find out. He knows the destination, but he doesn't know how to drive this car. But suppose a spiritual master is a driver of this car and he is teaching you how to drive. So one thing is that you can learn from him, but at the same time you are advancing with the speed with which spiritual master is taking you. Right? So this is like a sadhaka who has taken shelter of a spiritual master. For him it is very easy. Only thing is that one has to understand the position of a spiritual master, that he is not an ordinary man. Immediately next verse, Bhagavatam says ki yasya sakshat bhagavati jnana deepe prade guru martya asaddhi shrutam tasya sarvam kunjar shauchavat. If he considers that a spiritual master to be an ordinary mortal, then his hearing and learning from spiritual master is like a bathing of an elephant which comes out and again takes the dirt. So we have discussed that how the nature of a mind is. By different analogies, mind is like a mirror, mind is like a screen, mind is like a monkey, mind is like a elephant, mind is like a tornado, mind is like an, but all this mind is enemy. And then we discussed that the mind has to be lived with it, because you cannot get away with this mind. Right? Accept the mind as it is, because that is what we have. And not just accept, then how to deal with it. So Bhagavatam gives us a clue, how can we deal with this mind? Right? Just first is that the upeksha, neglect the mind. Second is that be alert, bring the mind under control, but always alert, because it's like a tiger, or it's like a cunning person, or it's like a prostitute. At any opportune moment, there can be a fall. Upeksha. Alertness. Then practice. One has to practice. Not complacency is the exactly opposite. We become complacent, mind attacks, and therefore we have to keep on practicing. That is, fourth is the vairagya, saying no to the sense objects. Right? And the final is, fifth is the satisfaction. If you wear this shoes of satisfaction, then we are not unaffected in any situation. And the last one is the Guru Haresh Charana Upasanaya. In spite of doing all this, strength of mind is too much for us to conquer or overcome. So it is possible only if we have a weapon of service to Lord by the process of 9 devotional services and the mantra given by spiritual master. By strength of that, just like a driver of a car, if a spiritual master and you are sitting in that car, we can control the mind and we can reach the destinations. Thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.